We are in, really, believe it or not, this is our sixth time into Project 2025. This is our sixth week, which means it's about a month and a half. We've been going strong through this, and this is the end. And as I mentioned last week, as we look into these things, and we are going to just kind of brain burn and ideal burn today, and it will either be a really nice, long, and perfect time, or it'll be really short, and we're going to have a great amount of time for coffee. It's one of those things. So that's why I mentioned that last week, so we could all be thinking and have our minds ready to go. But if you're like me, you're like, I don't even remember what yesterday, so forget last week. So whatever you said, I have no idea, and I guess we'll have a lot of coffee. Regardless, we are really into kind of the brain burn session, and what we want to do is talk about mission, vision, and values, but in this way. How do we make these things practical? What is it that causes us to go out and do? What will we go out and do? Because what often happens in a church setting is that we hear and we hear and we hear. We like a lot of what we hear. Sometimes we're not as excited about things that we hear. And sometimes it's just kind of a horse apiece. We really almost don't even remember what we heard. But the point is we hear a lot. And the practical application to what we hear, the actual doing of it, the actual putting into play and practice and seeing God do his work, sometimes can fall short. And that's what we don't want to happen. So when we spend 6 weeks in anything, or even 4 weeks or 2 weeks in anything, what we want to do, especially in something like this, a Project 2025, which really involves our entire church's mission, vision, and values, is kind of say, okay, how do we make sure none of this falls through the cracks? And how do we look to the Lord to lead us into practical implementation of ideals? And so this morning, it's practical implementation of ideals. That's where we are. And so before we begin, we'll pray and just kind of ask God's blessing on this particular time together, and then we will start today. Father, so glad to be here this morning. Thank you for this group of believers that you have assembled. Thank you for the body of Christ that you've tempered together, that you've made, that you've gifted, and Father, that you have put upon their hearts to love you, that you've put upon their hearts to serve you, and you've put upon their hearts, really, that whatever it is you challenge them with, they will rise to it in your power and for your glory. And so, Father, we pray today that as we talk very practically, that you would grant to us a unique ideal of wisdom, some steps forward, some things that we can do, some things that we can see, to see true change in our body, that we might see change from without as you grow the body. And we would pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Mission, vision, and values. So when it comes to our mission, and we talk about things like, our vision, I keep saying mission first, our vision, and we talk about things like vibrant Christian community where people can encounter Christ, be empowered to live out their faith and actively serve the needs of those around us, seeing lives transformed and strengthened by the love and grace of God. When we talk about that kind of thing, that's a mouthful, by the way, when we talk there, what have you noticed in the last 4 weeks that have changed in your own style of conversation amongst one another? And if you've noticed a change for the positive, especially one that tends toward a spiritual side, could I put you on the spot and ask you to share your secret? And before you begin, I'll begin. I'll let you know the things I've tried to do. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews to exhort one another daily, what is still called today, so that none of us find ourselves hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that's the problem. It's so deceitful that we kind of can be easy prey for it. We fall into that deceit almost as easily as Eve did in the garden, almost as deliberately as Adam fell into it in the garden. But deceit is a terrible thing. And so we always want to exhort one another daily that way. So oftentimes what I'll do is I'll think of one simple verse. Like this morning, the verse that came to my mind is simply this. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, this morning, what I would end up doing invariably is I would go be talking to certain people, and we'd just be chatting along, and then I'm going to interject that verse. Because guess what everybody wants? Everybody wants victorious Christian living. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be really superpowered, and everybody wants to overcome, and everyone wants to see sin put down and the grace of God rise up, and everyone wants to see their own lives changed, and they really want to have that victory in Christ. And what oftentimes they feel like, though, how do they feel? That it's elusive, that it keeps running away, that as soon as they're about to grab it, there it goes again, like, oh. You know, it's like when you chase something around the house. I'll give you an example. So the windows in the church office are not tight whatsoever. So when the wind blows, it makes the front door upstairs go back and forth and close and open. It'll blow it right open, even though it's inside, right? Because the two windows on either side create this vacuum, and whatever way the wind blows, that's the way the door goes, right? Which just means if the wind is coming through, what else comes through? Bugs. So there are like 4,153 million flies that I'm vacuuming up on a daily basis all around the windows. And so as soon as I've got the whole vacuum, it's just spread out all over the office. I don't even put it away because every 20, 30 minutes, I'm going to use it, right, to suck up some bug. So here comes the next bug. I'm sitting on the desk. I'm typing out some. I'm like, oh, got a bug. And I'm looking, where is it? And I come in and I'm like, and as soon as I go to get that thing and write him, I'm about to be on it, guess what? Woo, he runs away. And I'm like, and so I'm spending who knows how much amount of stupid time chasing bugs. And it's like, this is not even important. I should just let the bug go, right? There are way more important things than bugs. Why do I bring that up? Because that's the way people feel like their spiritual life is. Right as they're about to have some kind of victory, there it goes. And then they're running over here, and then there it goes. And then they're right about to nap, and there it goes. And they don't really feel like they have it. And so a simple exhortation reminder, the deceit of it is, you won't catch it. You can't have it. You won't have it. It will keep escaping you. That's the deceit that keeps running through your mind. It's always just out of reach. That's a deceit. That's a lie. It is not always out of reach. Why is it not always out of reach? Where does the spiritual victory live? In you. Because what creates the spiritual victory that lives in you? The Spirit of God. So the lie is you're not going to have it. It's going to keep getting away. And you're just going to be, oh well. So this is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory that just overcomes. Just stop there. The victory that overcomes is your faith. What makes spiritual victory? Faith. Obedience. In faith. It isn't that spiritual victory runs away. So you and I typically throw something in its way. That's really the truth of the matter. So I might go up to people in the morning and my topic of conversation changes with them because we're going to chat. And I'm going to throw out, like today, that was the verse that came to me. So today, that's what I'll be throwing out. And you're just like, if you tell me that verse, I already know. Don't you dare. You better come up with another one. Give me something special. So either way, I'm going to change my conversation, and I'm always going to throw out a scripture. And there's going to be a reason for it, and that's the reason. What am I trying to implant? There is spiritual victory, and it can and will be yours if you just exercise faith. And how much faith do you need to exercise? What does Jesus say about faith and how much you need to have in order to be victorious? Yeah, mustard seed. So does he expect you to be some grand, great Christian faith master? He'd love you to be, but is that what he expects you to be? No. He simply expects you to put down a mustard seed of faith. And if you'll do just that, watch. Just watch. Because if you did just put down a mustard seed of faith, what did he say you could do? I think the phrase in scripture is move mountains. Literally pick them up and put them down elsewhere. That's pretty significant. I mean, I'd call that miraculous. And if I could do that, if I walked out there and moved Mountain El Dumpmore out here and pushed it over across the river, wow, that would be phenomenal. Just imagine all the news people coming to see that. That's a mustard seed of faith. That's a mustard seed. So what I would do in my topic of conversation is I want people to encounter Christ, right? And I want there to be a vibrant community. And I want people to understand that the vibrance of that community is because you're experiencing victory, because victory makes you vibrant. Just does. If you live in victory, you cannot. And I've never seen a Christian live in victory who is cast down and sullen. Never. I've seen a Christian have victory and then fall that way, but I've not seen them, if they're in the moment of victory, be that way. Just never. And so the vibrant community comes with victorious Christian living, and victorious Christian living is simply this. This is the victory that overcomes. Faith. That's why we sing that song, right? It's got kind of a maybe corny old-fashioned tune, but it's truth. It's truth. So that's my conversation. I just thought I'd give that out there to share, you know, what I've decided. Actually, not just Jim decided, he's some great person, but what I've kind of prayed on and kind of what God has kind of said, hey, why don't you try this? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're going to exhort one another daily, I still called today, so no one's heart and deceitful sin, maybe you need to share the word of God so that faith can continue to come by hearing. And that's how you build them up. So maybe if you change your conversation to interject the word of God, you'll see faith increase. Ah! So I thought, what a great idea! I should do that! And so now I'm sharing it. That's my idea. But that's just my idea. Do you have any ideas? Are there any things that in the last 6 weeks, have we gone through this, when we've talked about these different points, when we've looked at the different things, has there been any change in your conversation that you've noticed? And if there is, would you like to share? Can I put you on the spot to share your awesome secret? Otherwise, we go through 6 weeks, we like some concepts, we think it's great. Yay, we're doing this. Okay, great. Next, what's the next Sunday school going to be about? Anybody got an idea? Let's look forward to that one. Well, I do have an idea. It's being prepared across the way, but I'm not sharing it yet. Secret. Top secret, confidential. Yes, ma'am.
With all of the, you know, all of the avenues that we have anymore for information to come in. I mean, I'm looking compared to even, you know, when I was growing up, let alone when my mom and dad and grandparents were growing up. I mean, I didn't have a clue what was going on in Afghanistan or whatever, even like in my 20s or, you know, when I went into, started going to adulthood. But now there's just so much, you know, bombardment, whether you like it or not, you'll probably hear about what's going on in Afghanistan or whatever. So I think it's just, I'm just, you know, having this trouble with so much of that always coming and coming and coming and coming in. And even if you spend time, you know, in your Bible, like, you know, for however long during the day, as the day goes on and all these things come in, it, for me, it's hard to remember to filter those things through Scripture.
Yes.
To maintain the mindset, because if you don't maintain that mindset, it's not going to come out of your conversation, you know. So that's the starting point for me.
Amen. That's fantastic. So you're going even back farther than me. I'm looking at I'm just looking at sharing a piece of the Word of God, but you're going back even further and saying, well, let's start with the mindset. If I can get my mindset scripturally wrapped, my conversation will be scripturally wrapped. If I don't get my mindset scripturally wrapped, my conversation won't be scripturally. Is that about an equal kind of what you're saying? Excellent. Thank you for that. That's a fantastic share. Yes, sir. So if I'm hearing you right, and you can let me know if I've got this right, your take is I will be deliberate salt and light. Deliberate salt and light. I will use my words to be sure I am deliberately interjecting some measure of salt and light to steer a conversation towards something spiritual, whether it be a church or godliness or a form of Christianity or just even mentioning the name of Christ in some way or form so that people will know. So there's an evident salt and light going out, and it's known. It's not hidden. It's not put under a bushel, so to speak. It's known. Is that about right? Ah.
Do you know Yes.
But you're going with prayer, and that's the beautiful thing. So we're praying about this, we're putting it to prayer, and we're just trusting God to open our mouth and speak. But I love it, though, because the idea behind it is you are purposing, in whatever way God will allow, for you to be spiritual salt and spiritual light, that things will just be known, that we're not just going to be humans of humanity, but we're going to be humans that are Christians, and it's going to be a known thing. Okay, I love that. Thank you. It's kind of funny because in your bulletin today, you'll notice Ben and Diana Quacker are missionaries. And I was looking on their Facebook page in Rouse Hill Bible Church, which is in Sydney, Australia. And he had there a link back from 2023, an article that was as big as day. I mean, you couldn't miss it. And the title of the article is Spiritual Conversations Don't Have to Be Weird. That was the title of the article. That's why it's in your bulletin, because it caught me. I thought, that is so true. Spiritual conversations don't have to be weird. What makes them weird? Typically, we do. We're the ones that make it weird somehow. And that's why I love that you're going through prayer. You're saying, hey, God, open my mouth. Give me these words at the right time. Give me the right words even, so that I don't come across in my humanness and try to make something which you don't want made, but that will be proper salt and proper light. That's what I love. So thank you for sharing that secret. So I have mindset, backing up to mindset. Let's get the mindset straight before we ever even walk out the door so that we can, our mind is already spiritually geared. And then I have prayer and deliberate purpose to be salt and light. And then on my angle, it's simply, if we're going to exhort one another daily, what's still called today, and faith comes by hearing, then people need to hear the word of God. And so we're just going to interject little pieces of the word of God that are going to be uplifting. They're going to give people kind of the key to victorious Christian living. So those are three ideals on that. Love that. Anybody else before we move on out of that realm? Because what I want to know is how that's changed. Yes, sir, Pastor?
When we were looking at the spiritual gifts, I was reminded how I always desired to be a Barnabas. When I was studying Barnabas, his name means comfort. So that's what I'd like to be, is a comfort. And so of recent, I was thinking about how Paul, with all his letters, he would greet them with grace and peace. You know, I wish upon you grace and peace. So with my conversations, my thought has been trying to do some way instill grace and peace in my ears. And right now I've got like four counseling. Grace. What's grace? You know, receiving something that, you know, we don't deserve. So when you bless someone with grace, it's the idea of I want to give to them something they don't deserve. Or the aspect of peace, boy. And as I think about all these counseling sessions that I have, that what's a missing element in all? Peace. So that's how this is stirred me up in the aspect of just trying to want to motivate others with grace and peace.
Amen. Let me add one more counselee to your list. Probably not one you're thinking of. So if you're at five, you're really at six. And just a testimony for Pastor. The sixth counselee is me. And you say, what do you mean sixth counselee is you? You poor people, believe me, I feel for you every Sunday morning. But anytime there is something that is hard to be said about anything that I may or may not do right in the ministry, right? This man will come alongside and very gracefully, and I do mean gracefully, tell me. And he's watching out for you people to make sure you're not killed to death by whatever. And so he does have a sixth counselee in that, and he does. It is always grace-filled. It is, I care, I love, and can I just be a help this way? And, you know, boom, and just lay it on the line. And I love that. That's a blessing. So he actually has six people. So, and he does that. And I'm here to tell you he does that, and it's fantastic. So if you need him to do it more, see him, and I'm sure he will. Or you can adopt his philosophy and see me yourself and say, hey, So, but it's a blessing of a thing, it really is. So thank you, Pastor, for actually sharing that, because he does it with me. So I know he does it with everybody. I just know he does. So it's a blessing. It's a huge blessing. Any other way you've seen conversation change so that people actually encounter Christ? Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Denham? Be right there. Amen. Amen. And this is true. I've seen some hardships, and you've shared some hardships, and yet I've seen you be rejoicing all the way through it. Everything out of your mouth was rejoicing. And it's been a blessing that way.
Amen.
Amen. And I apologize, Mrs. Bear. I didn't mean to skip over you. Oh, no.
So it just kind of struck me funny at first. I said, well, Linda, you know, it's a big universe. Think of the Voyager that was set out back in the 70s and is still going. So I said, you need to pray to the being that invented the universe, that created the universe. And you know what I mean, don't you? God and his son Jesus. And she just looked at me, and we kind of, I'm hoping to talk to her more about it, because she's a busy lady. She has two jobs, and I'm hoping to get her to come to church.
Amen.
But I also try to, if somebody comes and helps, especially in the middle school, because nobody likes the middle school kitchen. So when they do come up, I, even though the kitchen manager should be doing this, she doesn't, but I try to say, gee, thank you for coming. You were a big help. And I remember Jason came up and he cleaned the oven, and I praise God for that, because I don't like cleaning that oven. They use chemicals that really choke me. So I thanked him, and he says, oh, well, thank you for thanking me. And he goes down, he's talking about, Lonnie thanked me for doing the ovens. I was kind of embarrassed, but I try to be respectful in that area, and hopefully maybe it'll somehow bring them.
I love that. Thank you for sharing, because what you've done is you've linked vibrant Christian community with our core value, and one of them is respect. You've linked them both together, and you've done one thing with that, which is awesome. That it is significant. It is significant. You're trying to be an encouragement. Encouragements. Encouragement. Actually, every bit of it has been encouragement. Everything anyone said has been to the point of attempting to be an encouragement, or attempting to interject Christ in conversation for the sake of encouragement. That's what I love. So perfect. Perfect. So this is the practical thing. And this is so when visitors come, or when we see them, or whatever happens, or we have an activity, and that'll be kind of down the line we'll be talking about here in a minute. These are the things we want to see really come out. This is that where they encounter Jesus Christ, and what they encounter is a vibrant faith in Christ that is victorious, and it's victorious because of the Spirit within, and how that Spirit moves within and then has us from within to now what comes out of the mouth, but what is in the heart. And so here we go, sharing the heart of Christ to those folks. So fantastic on that. The latter part of that is not just being a vibrant Christian community where people encounter Christ, but where they're empowered to live out their faith and actively serve. And so living out and actively serving, I'm kind of lumping together, is almost one activity, though they are two separate. Living out the faith is just simply living as a Christian, kind of that Monday through Saturday idea, which we all get. I don't foresee anyone in this church not doing that. That is, you're all committed folks. It is more the idea of, okay, how do we turn all of this now into service? And what ideals can we have for really serving our greater community and now extending that beacon of love, not just from the quote-unquote church on the hill or church next to the hill, whatever it is, but how do we extend that love outside of these parameters, and how do people get to see it from the body as a whole? Because right now they're seeing it from the body as an individual, and that's what I love, is you are faithfully out there, and you are faithfully putting Christ out. Every one of you are. I know you are. So now how do we do this as a body? How do we now turn around as a church and then serve the needs of those around us? And very actively, what are some things that you think we might, could, or should be doing in this regard? And I'm not necessarily looking for just invite folks to a special service, because I think the church has been doing that for years. And for years, that kind of activity and the response to that activity has been on the steady decline. People are not coming to churches for special activities. People no longer see holidays as special things they really need to go after. I mean, I'm talking the crowd 45 and under are not seeing that as anywhere near important like they used to. Used to be people would save face in society and at least go to a Christmas service or an Easter service. Now they're like, no service, period. They're just not going. And so how can we reach out and how can we say, not just invite people to a special service, but what can we do that might still attract a crowd? Where can we do it? How can we do it? And what might be the best use of our outreach efforts? That's really where I'm going with that. What might be the best use of our outreach efforts? I think last week I mentioned it for you to think, because we have 4 acres, which 2 of them are free and clear of grass that Pastor absolutely loves to mow. And in fact, his favorite part is that hill. So nobody should come and mow that hill, because I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's probably just the opposite. You know, the regular lawn is fantastic. And man, is this thing beautiful. Just beautiful. The hill's probably the worst. Way long time ago, when I lived in Florida, we used to always go to Disney World. Not as much as my in-laws go. Mm-mm. They're from New York, and they have been there way a lot more times than I have. But we used to go down there, and back down in the Epcot, where it was all supposed to be Future World and blah, 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 they used to have these mowers that were hover mowers. And they were plastic, and they were very lightweight, and they would hover over the grass, and they'd have fishing line or some kind, almost like weed whacker line underneath, just spinning like a blade. And so this guy with like barely 3 fingers would haul this little mower up and down their, you know, hilly flower side gardens, and he'd just be basically barely touching that thing, and it would just mow in the grass beautifully, and it'd be perfect. It wouldn't be all choppy, you know, it'd just be great. And so I thought, why don't we have that here? If they had that back in the 80s and 90s, where is that hover mower now? And how come we don't have one for that hill? Because someone's going to die on that thing. I guarantee you'll lose a limb. So with the, you know, clunky, you know, 500-pound thing that we got to push. So anyway, point is, we have lawn. We have lots of lawn. We have parking lot out here, huge parking lot that we could fill. And some ideals that were thrown out was, you know, what if you had like a fall festival in the fall? And this would be the time to plan that, because we have a lot of time to get things in order. You have a fall festival, you just create a couple little booths, you put out some chairs and a screen, and you show some very Christian, super, super Christian and conservative Christian thing, you know, not some crazy thing. You show something out there, you put out seats and chairs, and something's over here, something's going on over here, you have a little food over here, and I don't say food, I mean snacks. And then you could fill the parking lot with food trucks. And you just kind of put 4 or 5 food trucks out there. You've got a festival with booze, with activity. Then you have food trucks over here, and you may have a few snacks or whatever, but then no one's coming in the building. Nobody is sitting listening to some guy go on for 45 minutes who really should be down to 30 because he's way too long. Nobody wants to listen to that either. What they're doing is having a great time at your church facility or in a park if you want to go outside of your church facility and you just go and get some license and permits and you go hold it in a park. There are plenty of parks right, you know, 3 minutes away from here in downtown Cohoes. There are other parks on the other sides. There's a Town of Colony Park right there. Behind the house, behind our house, we see it every day, all kinds of space, nice space, space that people would go to, space you could fill cars with, and you could do these kinds of things, and it's a simple outreach, and then at the end of that thing, you put together just a 15-minute, and you really got to hold the speaker guy to it, 15-minute gospel presentation, and that's it, and everybody goes, You're at a certain time, you know, you call it quote-unquote end, but you have that presentation, and then you just keep going until maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and it just shuts down. But that would be like an idea of activity. Another idea, which I think I've shared with you before, is every fall, these Cohoes schools, and I'm sure other schools in the area, they gather book bags filled with supplies, because teachers, believe it or not, don't get the budget they need for their school supplies. Who knew? It all goes to who knows what, but it ain't going to them, even though that's what it's earmarked for. So, you know, getting backpacks, just buying like 20, 30 backpacks and filling them up with school supplies for third graders to fifth graders, that kind of thing. And then going and physically taking people in your boxes and going and having an event where you drop that off at the school. And you like find the school system can assign you three teachers, and you just go in and give three teachers like 10 bags each. That's it. That's all you do. And you do that. And they get to pass them out, and kids get to be, whatever. But what you're doing is, you're really getting into the community. You're holding activities. You're sharing the gospel. You're showing love, right? That's the build bridge part, but you got to cross that bridge. You can't just show love and do nothing else. But what's happening is, Grace Bible Church isn't some weird barn on a hill with a strange white cross that nobody knows what it is. It's a body that loves their community and gives back, shares, just wants to be sharing. And hopefully through things like that, there's some activity there that we can all wrap ourselves around and get involved in. Those are just two little things that would happen at two times a year. Both, actually, those are both in the fall, that we could do. And that's just an idea. Have you had any ideas in the last week of things that maybe we should think about doing, activity-wise, things that would really get us into the community? You say, well, we're a little church, Pastor. I know, and that's the glory of God, right? Pastor's preaching on Gideon this past Wednesday night, and he was talking about how God kept whittling down the number of people. And there was a reason God whittled down that number of people. What was the reason God whittled down that number of people again? Because the people, if they were too many, or if they were just enough, could rise up and say, we did this. We did this. God whittled them down to 300 so that there was no doubt the only person that could have done this, period, was God. So when you think we got this little church and we don't have lots of folks, well, praise God for that. Because that just means God does it. And we don't get to go, well, weren't we great? Patting ourselves on the back. So that's a blessing, actually. That's huge. Did you have some?
Well, we enjoyed the movie night. Mm.
Yes, that's what I mean. I have a Microsoft-oriented projector. It's a small one. And we could totally put up a sheet. That was the idea of the Fall Fest, right? Put up a sheet, throw some chairs out there. We have a garage full of, well, dirty chairs that need to be power washed. But we got a ton of chairs out there, like 50 or 60 chairs out there in that garage that we could put down and just go right out in the lawn and do that. They could. In fact, we could even advertise it that way. Bring your own chair, bring your own whatever. And that's where the popcorn thing would come in, because somebody was talking about movie night, we should do popcorn. I was like, two problems, time out. Number one, well, actually three problems. Number one, it isn't a movie theater, and we don't want to give the movie theater vibe, right? That's a purpose. We don't want to avoid the appearance of it. But the second thing, I didn't mind popcorn because we had it. The second thing was, not in the building. Are you kidding? It'll smell like burnt popcorn for like days. For weeks. We'll be coming into there. Why does it smell like burnt popcorn? That movie night was 3 weeks ago. You know? And third, there'll be popcorn all over the floor. You know how many pieces popcorn breaks into when you step on it? I know, because I saw it. And we had to come and clean it that night because I was afraid the mice would, you know, overnight come in and start, and we'd have dead mice everywhere because the mice get in the heating things and they die and it smells really bad. We didn't want that. So after everybody leave, you know, you come back the next day and you just clean all that, and it goes into a bajillion pieces. Bajillion. You just don't even know how many pieces. So I had this popcorn issue. Now, Trent and Misty were very creative in how they overcame the popcorn issue. But what we could do if we had moving outside is you can get one of those machines. Ain't going to smell burn out there for 3 weeks. Some other smell will linger for 3 weeks, but not that one. And you could be out there. You could just make a fun thing of it. All you're trying to do is make something fun. You're not trying to mimic a theater or have an atmosphere of that. But you're trying to do something fun. And you're trying to do something that really will focus the mind on Christ. You say, man, well, you know, the movie you showed, it had a little music that we weren't really, you know, it's not what we have, aren't you? I understand that. But what was the message? How clear was that message? How absolutely, and how did they do it? How did they put it on display to make your heart want to be more surrendered to the Lord? Want to now go find someone to disciple just like they did? Want to do godly things? So there was a want created there by the way that was done. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. When it all falls in line, then we use it. But I love that idea. I love it. That's a fantastic idea. We can just move that outside. Then we can go crazy and have just fun things. And that's what the community will come and see. What would they see? Vibrance. Fun and vibrance activity. Oh, yeah, yeah. Put a sign out. Yes, advertise. Advertise. Yes, we absolutely could. We absolutely could. It goes back to my whole sign issue. I had a sign issue back in, I think, in the January of the year, and we realized that just redoing the sign we have, getting that closer to the road, maybe making that a little more electronic so that we could put flyer, you know, events that could be seen that would just flash and people would see it. And then, of course, yeah, that's a $50,000 endeavor. So your idea, hammer something to the ground, what, $50? We're good? We got an advertiser out there on the hill? Perfect. Perfect. We could do that. That's doable. I like it. Yes, ma'am.
Isn't it our country's 200th anniversary this July?
Yes. Or some year, some capstone year. Is it? 2026?
Or is it next year?
Is it? Okay. Oh, the good, then we have time to plan, because July is like, you know, 2 months. We better hurry it up. That's a great idea. We really should. Somebody also, I should mention, made mention that maybe if we had a red, white, and blue service, like for honoring the police, the fire, paramedic, you know, all these kinds of things, emergency services, we can do stuff like that. But when you get dignitaries from the police department, you know, their chiefs and their assistant chiefs, and you get fire people come in, when they come into a building, and when they come into a service like that, what are they looking for? The community. The community is what they're looking for. They're gauging whether or not they will participate that by the attendance of the community, because it puts them in front of the community. If we want to hold a service like that and we have 15 people, that's not a big community. And I dare say they will not view that as successful, and that would not necessarily then become a great annual thing unless we found a way to do it to pull in lots of community. So we could do something like that. We just have to figure where and how we get some community involvement in that as well to really honor those folks. So think that way too. How can we pull that off well? We could do it if we could pull it off well. Yes, ma'am.
People downstairs. Maybe we don't want to do like its own event, but maybe at one of the other events we're talking about, we could do, you know, some small, you know, a table where, and maybe we don't want to get into clothes, but just housewares where things like that, where, you know, we all have things in our home that we don't use anymore, and we're, you know, donate them, but they're still very usable. Maybe we can do something like that where a free table that can.
Absolutely. Amen. If you need it, take it. Just put a sign right there. If you need to take it, that'd be great, especially if they're in great condition and they look, you know, because that's what really people, when they come to a table like that, if it's all still really, like you said, very usable and in very good condition, it's just something you don't, people are like, wow, this is like, this is great. These people, man, otherwise, if you had a table and it was just full of junk and it was half broken and dilapidated and had holes and all kinds of, yeah, well, we wouldn't want to do that because then the testimony goes down. But that kind of idea is fantastic, and that could link onto any activity. You could literally do that with anything. It didn't matter which activity we had. That could just be a portion of it right off to the side. And if you do that all the time, like every activity, you had a table out there like that, that could get traction.
And you don't need to have a lot. You know,
yeah. Yes, they will. They certainly will. So these are great ideals. This is what I love. This is why I wanted this to be very practical. Yes, ma'am.
Just wondering, what about parades? Would there ever be? I was in a church where I remember
just say, and they had a parade, and we were all dressed up as clowns. But I got to tell you, it was something. I mean, not that we would even go that way, but would you have a sign in it?
Oh, of course, 100%. Wouldn't that be awesome if we just had a float that we took to parades down in Albany, or we took to Mechanicville Firemen's Parade? You know, these days that they have these parades, sometimes they have these St. Patrick's Day parades, is when I see a lot of parades is in March. And you just put your church float in. Yeah, hand out. That's what you shoot from the cannon, right? A Grace Bible t-shirt with a track wrapped in it. Boom, boom, boom. You're just shooting these shirts out at people. Hopefully you're not pegging them right in the head. But, you know, yeah, angle up. But yeah, you could do that. This is things we could definitely do. Be in the parade and just kind of get that. You're getting name out there, but you're also being active. And wouldn't it be awesome to have just some shirts made up, quick, you know, great GBC, whatever, and then you shoot that out there with a track, bam, bam, bam. Because what is the one thing men don't throw away? Free t-shirts and hats. They will use that as they paint. They will use that as, it may be for junk, but they're going to wear it. And they wear that same junk shirt into Home Depot and Lowe's all the time. And they wear that same ratty tatty thing because that's the number one thing the wife said. You're wearing that? Are you kidding? This is where we're going and that's what you look like? Yeah, they'll wear it everywhere. And they'll wear it in their neighborhood, and that's the key part. Mowing the lawn. You know, everybody sees this shirt. So you do crazy stuff like that, and it's all because you went into a parade and you just, you know, shirt cannoned that thing out there. Bam, 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 bam. So yeah, it's great. I love it. I love it. This is, my mind's going 1,000 miles a minute. But this is the kind of thing. So these are the things we should, now I had saw a hand over here. Did I miss anyone? Okay, just to make sure. These are the kinds of things we want to think about, because we can look at Project 2025 and say, yep, that sounds really great. Next, what's the next Sunday school series? Or we can say, how will my conversation change? How will I show faith? How will people encounter Christ through me? And then the greater part of that is, how can I now, as a body, as a church body together, how can we all serve this community and really meet those needs that are around us? Because I dare say we start doing stuff like that kind of table idea and these needs, you're going to discover more needs. And now, because pastors have been praying a lot, give us people to minister to. And we've expected them to walk in the door. What if we meet them walking out the door? We're going to discover a lot more needs. Now we're going to have folks to minister to. And so maybe that's an angle that we want to look at in the next 9 months and then keep going into the next year. Any final comments before we close? Because this is kind of our last session on this, and then we go to another topic starting next week for Sunday school. But hopefully what we've done is in this Project 25 is we found some very practical ways to say, hey, when people meet me in church, and when people meet me out of church, do they encounter Jesus Christ? And do they see the vibrance of that spirit flowing from me in a way that is attractive? That makes Christ more attractive because they actually see Mrs. Bear loving and respecting. They actually see Pastor Beckwith encouraging and ministering peace and mercy and grace into all his conversations. They actually see Steve lifting Christ up on the cross in a way that people know him. They see all of you ladies, and a number of you, whether it be Mrs. Deno or Mrs. Kennedy or even Mrs. McCarthy, be very vocal in their praising God in every situation in which they do, all of them. Or they'll see us in the community having events and activities, and they'll be like, wow, these guys are something. This little teeny church, who knew? Which means who gets the glory when that's the comment. God does it. God does. Okay, any other comments before we close? All right. Well, thank you for making it not so short that we had a huge long coffee time, because that was my fear. Thank you for being a good participant. We'll close in prayer, and then you'll be dismissed till the morning service, which will start in about 15 minutes. Father, thank you for the opportunity today, and thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the desire that you've put in each one of these hearts to love you and to show it. And Lord God, I want to praise you in the fact that everyone in front of me today does that. What an incredible blessing. Lord God, would you please continue to lead in our gospel conversations in the church and outside of the church? Would you please continue to lead us in thoughts and ideals for activities and help us to be excitedly preparing for them, to start putting ideals together and forming committees and subcommittees and getting all kinds of things ordered and Father, just seeing some things really take shape here. Would you do that, Lord, for us? And Lord, if you do, and even regardless of all, we want to be sure to give you praise and glory, much thanksgiving in all the ways you work and move in our lives from this day onward. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.